You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome back to the Horse Healthcast. I'm Jenna Bosgarden, manager of digital marketing for Smart Equine.
And I'm Ashley Lecomte-Lozich, head of R&D for Smart Equine. And if your horse spends summer stomping, swishing, and stressed, this episode is for you.
We are talking about summer bugs, from the flies to the no-see-ums. There's a lot of things out there to bother you and a lot of options out there to help you and your horse actually enjoy the summer and not just survive it. Let's get into it.
Smart solutions, trusted voices. Your source for equine health and wellness. This is Horse Healthcast by Smart Equine. The discussions in this podcast are intended for educational and informational purposes and are not intended as veterinary advice. You should always consult with a licensed veterinarian or qualified equine health professional before making changes to your horse's diet or care plan. Hosts and guests cannot guarantee the reliability, accuracy, or completeness of the information shared, and as such, these discussions are not a substitute for veterinarian or professional guidance, and any actions you take are at your own risk. Products discussed on this podcast are not endorsed by Smart Equine and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any medical issue.
So because we know that bugs are bothersome, and we're going to get into that in a second, I really just want to kind of like set groundwork on this one because there's a lot of things that go into fly control and fly prep. So we are going to be talking about all the things that go on and around your horse. That's going to be things that you put on them and turn out, things that you can ride in, things you can do around the barn to help minimize bugs. And whatever, there's a lot of options out there. There's a lot of, you know, tried and true. There's a lot of home remedies. And we're gonna kind of get into the bones and dirt of that here as we go through. But to start off, we got to start out on why this even matters. Flies are annoying. We all know that.
Yes.
I hate swatting them. I hate having to hear them. I feel like, I'm sure it's not just me, I feel like I have like a PTSD style reaction that when I hear buzzing, I'm just like, hands are up and I'm ready to throw them at whatever
I know
has come into my area.
Yeah. I mean, they're annoying, but like, I even beyond that, I don't know about you, but like they like change my aura. I get to the barn, I'm in a great headspace, and then these flies, and I feel like it changes my horse's headspace too. We're stressed, we're distracted. I mean, have you ever like trying to get through a dressage test when there's like gnats all over your horse's ears and face and like gubbying up in their eyes? Like, terrible. We can't get anything done because we're just frustrated and irritated and tense.
Yeah. And the thing too is like, for some of us who are just going out for a happy gallop, we can outrun the bugs. For those of us who are trying to get through a dressage test or enjoy a nice flat class or even, God forbid, a leisurely trail ride, we can't really outrun them. So like you said, they're disruptive, they're annoying. And I think you were also on track with this too, where like, I'm trying to think about me and hating bugs as much as I do. I don't want to eat outside on my deck in my yard.
Yeah.
When there's too many bugs, but the horses that we have and love have to eat outside at all times or in a stall, which is, you know, inside, outside at the same time. So all that to say is yes, bugs are annoying, but they're more than annoying, right? Like they are disruptive. They are bothersome. They are getting into our routines and our patterns in a bad way. And like you said, like changing the whole aura, changing the whole vibe. So not only do we want to get rid of bugs just because they are unsightly and loud and annoying, but they're also kind of ruining the whole thing that we're trying to do.
100%. I mean, and that's just flies. Okay, right? That's just like one little subset of the obnoxious insect issues that we're going to be dealing with. I mean, then you also have a whole second thing to think about, which is like transmissible diseases from mosquitoes and ticks. And like, there's just so many there's so many bugs. And you know what? This is coming so timely because yesterday I found a tick on my one-year-old, like child,
no.
Human child. And so how timely. I thought maybe we would have like a small window of time between the polar vortex and the bugs, but it seems as though we went straight from one to the other. We had no reprieve and it's already bug season. So I know.
Thank you so much.
I know, me too. But I mean, obviously this episode is coming at a good time then because
yeah,
the bugs
absolutely.
Are here.
And so while I don't think we make human fly sheets, if there are,
you know,
human
we should.
Fly sheets, somebody we let
should.
Us know. I would love that. But we do have like a couple of things that we can do for our horses for sure. And a few things for us. But like first and foremost, we got to talk about fly sheets. We
yeah.
know that is really, really common. I think especially for like coastal barns, maybe, you know, on the East and West Coast where most of our paddocks are small enough that our horses are within sight. So they're kind of monitored all the time. Keeping things like fly sheets on them is a pretty, pretty par for the course expectation for the summer. And I know you've got a whole big barn of horses. does that look pretty similar? Like, do most of your horses go out in a fly sheet or like fly
blocks, yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, they're all garbed up. So, I mean, I'd say that most horses that are stalled and go out and then come back into a stall at night, they're wearing lots of clothes outside. A fly mask, fly boots, a fly sheet. Some of them have like necks on their fly sheets and like full belly guards. So yeah, they're all garbed up, with the few exceptions of like if it's 100 plus degrees and the index is just so high, they'll go. I'd rather them get bitten than like die of heat stroke. So, you know, there will be some days where they go out naked, but for the most part, yeah, they're all garbed up. The horses that live outside, typically not, just because like you said, if we don't have eye shot on them, that's just one more thing to get caught on a fence or to get lost in the pasture. So we typically will put fly boots on our pasture horses because, like, you know, worst case they fall off, but we will typically avoid doing fly masks or fly sheets.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like you said, avoiding it in like the super, super hot temps definitely makes sense. They, for anybody who's not used one before, if you do have horses that live, you know, in way, way out big old paddocks that just don't, or if it's new to you, most fly sheets, if you're grabbing one off the shelf from anywhere, is going to be made of like a really fine, lightweight mesh material. It's going to be thinner and lighter weight than even like your nicest spring raincoat. So keeping that in mind, that when we say it's too hot, like it's too hot to exist if a horse is, no, if it's too hot for a horse to wear a fly sheet. So you're not doing anything that day, much less throwing any kind of layer over them.
Exactly. And exactly.
For the fly sheets that we're familiar with, the ones that we carry, the ones that we use on our horses, there's like kind of, I think, for different, very general level types. There's a fine mesh, which is just what it sounds like. It's like the most lightweight, the most breathable, really, really great for horses that just need something to protect against all the little things that are going to bother them. They're not super durable all the time. Some of them might be, but if your horse is one that's prone to finding a great shed to rub up against or playing blanket tag with his buddies, that's going to be a little bit tougher. There's the standard, which I imagine most of our horses are going out with. It's got a good balance of airflow and durability. It's going to feel a little rougher to your fingers, not uncomfortable, just it's not going to be something that you want to, you know, put on and wear yourself all the time. Super common, really standard. We have like the Smart Pack Classic and the Smart Pack Deluxe that are kind of fall into those a little bit more, the Classic than the Deluxe, but those are probably the most common. Is that what you guys see with your horses most? Is like a standard, you know, it goes over your horse's back fly sheet?
I mean, they're kind of all over the place. Like that, I use the fine mesh. So I almost treat them not quite disposable, but like they typically aren't making it more than one or two seasons. And I'm okay with that because it's doing its job. And no, they're much more affordable. There are some folks that have like the big heavy duty Rambo head to toe.
Yeah.
Again, you know, just, and it also depends on where your horse is going out. If your horse is standing on wet grass, that is going to be a great breeding ground for mosquitoes or other bugs. That's very different than if your horse is standing on limestone with no water near it. So, and how long they're going out, what times they're going out. Like in Florida, horses are turned out overnight and you're going to have a very different insect load in the night than you are going to have in the day. So I think it does just depend on the scenario, where your horse is going out, how long, what are the conditions. If you're standing near like a swamp of standing water, things are going to look different than if you're in like a more arid, temperate climate with a lot of wind or breeze. So our horses are dressed in all different things. It totally is up to the owner. We obviously leave it up to each owner of the boarded horse of how they want to handle that. But there are some horses that, you know, the owners don't want them to wear anything. And so they use fly spray. Which obviously totally different application there, but another choice.
Yeah. And I love that you brought up the like head to toe fly armor, because the Rambo ones are awesome. We also have ours, which is the Smart Mesh Ultimate, that has a 3-year durability guarantee on it. So like you said, like these are rough and tough. They are built to last. They're going to give you more than 2 or 3 seasons out of it. So definitely great options for horses that are playing tag, going out for longer days in bigger pastures with more bugs. You know, it, like you said, standing on grass, near standing water, things like that. So definitely great options there. And then one more that we haven't noted is there actually are a bunch of them that can fall into any of these categories or can be labeled on their own as UV protection. And we won't do a ton on that today for anybody looking for that information. That'll be a future conversation. But there are plenty of sheets out there that will block, you know, 50, 60, all the way up to 85 or even 90% UV rays. So definitely keep an eye on that if you're looking for that on product class pages or like the website pages. Those will tell you exactly what you need to know for that. So we'll talk about it more, but especially for my gray horse owners, keep that one in mind for future episodes. And I know that one's near and dear to your heart, Ashley.
In addition to the sheets being UV, we also, I mean, like I'm a big fan. If you have a horse that has any white markings on their face or a white nose or a pink nose where you're like always going out and slathering it in zinc oxide or whatever it is that you're doing to prevent sunburn, opting for a UV protective fly mask with like an extended nose is also a great option. And that way, you know, you're not having to go to the barn 3 times a day to put sunscreen on your horse and you're giving them that same protection. It's the same way that we would wear a sun shirt when we're out on cross country or something like that. Yeah, I love that option.
And we'll talk about more on fly masks in just a second, but just as a note for fly sheets really quick before we move on to that, for anybody who's buying them for the first time or just hasn't had a lot of experience or is like, I've never actually gotten one that I've liked, things that I would recommend keeping an eye out for is the fit. So like really looking for the room in their shoulders. I mean, they wear their winter blankets pretty much 24/7. So we think about that a lot. But in the summer, they're outside, hopefully grazing as much as they can or eating or walking back and forth between water and hay piles and hay bags. So you want that shoulder movement to still be pretty top of mind. There's nothing sadder than seeing your horse's beautiful, sleek, shiny summer coat and a bald shoulder. Ask me.
I totally agree.
Don't ask me here.
When I'm shopping, I'm typically looking for like a gusseted shoulder. Andy specifically has like some issues with his left shoulder, like just, you know, 20 years old and some compensatory injuries over time. And so like he has to go in gusseted. Like, and does he have to? Have I done physiological controlled studies with him? No. But like in my heart, I'm like, oh man, like I don't even want to think about his shoulder being restricted. So I'm always choosing a gusset over a non-gusseted sheet.
Yeah, absolutely. And thinking about it too, with in regards to where your horse is and how they handle heat and what their pasture looks like, keeping in mind what the breathability is. Like, does it, like for you, Ashley, like if you're okay with getting 1 or 2 seasons out of your sheets with, I think a lot of us are, like go for something more breathable. If you know your horse needs it to last and they need to be protected, get them something big and thick, you know, with the word armor or ultimate in it somewhere. So you know that you're really getting like the best of the best. And then you also mentioned that some of the horses at your farm have the neck covers. So yes, do come with neck rugs, not all, and not all sheets that don't have neck rugs can have, like they don't have the attachments available. So
right.
Keep that in mind too, that if you want to add one later, your fly sheet might not be predisposed to that the way a lot of our turnouts are.
Right. Yep.
And then, okay, now let's move on because I love that you brought up the fly masks. So this is like the next really, really common one that we see, boots and masks, but masks especially is where I want to start because like you said, if you have a horse with, you know, gray coat, they have a big marking, they have a pink nose, you want to keep that protected. And I know for my horse, I wanted to put him in one of those big extended nose because they cover so much. I tried and I watched him throw himself to the ground dramatically and rub his face into the dirt trying to get the nose part off of his foot. I did not know he was capable of such dramatics until I turned him out, lovingly kissed him on the face and set him free for the day in his brand new fancy extended nose, and he hated it more than life itself. So he got sunscreen 3 times a day, but his pasture mate got to enjoy the extended nose that I had bought for him. So, you know, different strokes for different folks, but we definitely have those options with the nose and without the nose, and then ears and without. So some horses on fly masks, you'll see like the ear coverings, which is really cute. Well, I think it's cute to help keep flies out. But we were just talking about this before the episode started, because there is one other thing that I think competitive folks might forget about sometimes, and even just the aesthetic folks might forget about. And we were talking about clipping, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was about to say this anyways, because you were talking about your horse trying to get the extended nose cover off. So, you know, horses have a lot of hair all over their body, and some of those hairs are specialized, like their little whiskers around their nose and their eyes and a lot of their facial structures. And those are actually sensory, I won't call them organs, but they're sensory structures. And it could have been that your horse, that long muzzle on the fly mask was touching his whiskers. And he was like, wait, too much sensory input. I can't handle this. So those whiskers.
About that. It's like I wear velvet and my whole body just.
Right. Right. Exactly. So, I mean, those whiskers are giving sensory input, helping them find food and detect objects and textures and air movement. So disrupting that can, to some horses, it can be maybe distracting or even irritating. So having options where the ears are open or where there is nothing around their face might be more comfortable for some horses. I opt to cover the ears just because like we get, I mean, like by the end of the summer, they're like bloody on the inside. So if you are out all the time, you know, a few times a day, or you have your horses in your backyard where you can go out there and swat their ears and, you know, put the sunscreen on their nose, that's amazing. If you don't have that option, you can always get like a ear, one with ear coverings and a long nose. But like Jenna said, you know, sometimes the horses just tell you right away that this is uncomfortable for me and it feels like wearing a bodysuit of velvet and I would rather not. Yeah.
Yeah. And also for anybody listening, Ashley does not mean go out and physically use your hand and swat bugs away from your
Sorry, ears. I was talking about the product. You saw my hand motion, but the viewers didn't. Like I meant like taking the product swat on your fingers and slathering it in their ear holes.
Yeah. And if you haven't used SWAT before, frankly, you're missing out. We'll tag it in the show notes. It is like a tried and true at probably every barn across the United States at some point in the summer.
Yes. Yes. You need to have it for many reasons. And this is totally off topic and I didn't plan on talking about this today, but since we're talking about it, if your horse has some type of scratch or a lesion or a minor thing that you're not going to call your vet for, right? A little scrape or something, and you would like to keep the bugs away from that while it heals, you put whatever ointment you're going to put directly on the wound. You can put SWAT around the wound. Don't dress the wound itself with the SWAT, but you can put it around it to protect that tissue from, you know, biting bugs while it's trying to heal. So it's definitely something that you need to keep in your tack trunk.
Yeah, that's a very worthwhile side note for sure.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's like it costs less than my Starbucks order. So I'm always going to have one in my tack trunk. It comes in like different colors so that you can see it or not see it. So whatever the case may be, have swatter.
Absolutely. And with that, I feel like because so many horses do get fly bites and nicks and cuts and scrapes on their legs more than anything else, there's a whole bunch of fly boots and leg wraps you can use along with or alongside of SWAT. There are the kinds that like conform to your horse's legs. So they look just, well, they don't look just like, they look very similar to, you know, a jumping boot or a polo in the way that it wraps to your horse's leg. And then there's, you know, I don't think these are new, but they are newer to our assortment of fly boots, but there's just, it looks like a little stovepipe stack where it's tighter in around your horse's ankle and it goes all the way up and it's a little bit loose. So it keeps the bugs away, but it also allows for a little bit more airflow, a little bit more freedom of movement. So lots of options out there. And then the last thing to note on just like these targeted protection pieces. So we went through masks, boots, wraps, is like the belly bands that you talked about. So some fly sheets, it just what it sounds like for if you haven't seen it, just a big old swath of fabric that is connected to your fly sheet that goes under their tummy and connects there. Some turnout blankets, like for winter, you'll see have that for warmth. This is just to keep flies away from their belly so they are doing less kicking and stomping. I know I used to teach summer camp for kids, and every week without fail, or every summer without fail, when we would spend the time talking about like what are the signs of colic to teach kids that, within like 3 days, we would see a horse out in a field stomping at their belly, kicking at their belly for flies. And somebody would be like, oh my gosh, Tasha's colicking.
It's not colic.
It's not colicking. Tasha is fine.
Yeah.
She hates bugs. So if you see that a lot, belly bands are always a great one too,
yes,
to look out
and
for.
And there's actually a gal at my barn who has a like alone, a standalone belly band where like Velcro's at the front, Velcro's behind the barrel, and like she rides in it. So when she goes on trail rides, her horse is really sensitive to belly bites. And when she goes on trail rides, it protects his belly. Kind of like how you would wear like the slinky style eye mask, like under your bridle. It kind of, so there are rideable options too that you can use if you're an avid trail rider or an endurance rider where you're kind of out in the elements more frequently. So there's options both under saddle and for when your horse is in turnout.
That's genius. I've seen the little like quarter sheets that are fly sheets. I don't think I've seen the belly band that you can
It's similar. It's very similar. Like and I love the quarter sheet fly sheets because you mentioned earlier how you can outrun the bugs. Well, I don't know about every different, you know, type of geographic location and what everyone is dealing with in their own neck of the woods. But here in Illinois, in the end of the season, probably like August, early September, we get horse flies, massive horse flies. And they, I don't know like what type of gorilla glue their feet are made of, but like you have to physically hit them off your horse. Like not with one of like the cute little horse hair fly. No. Like you have to with your hand. Oh, so like I find myself, if I'm like out going for a gallop, I mean, like I'm like this behind my horse, like literally Indiana Jones style galloping with one hand and then like whacking them off his butt. So the quarter sheet, and they always seem to land on his butt and then he bucks. And like, I would rather that not happen. Yes. So a quarter sheet while you're riding too. And again, fine mesh. So it's not going to, you know, trap too much heat. So things like the quarter sheet or the belly band while you're riding can help when there are bugs that are harder to outrun. So always an option there too.
It's wild. Like we all know the buzzing of just like generic gen pop fly and how we hate that. But when you hear that horsefly buzz, that is a different level of.
And they follow you. They're fast. Like they can fly very fast.
Yes. If you've never experienced this, if you're listening to us being like, you guys are insane, just know that you are a chosen one and a favorite of the earth to have never had to experience it.
Oh my God. They're so big, you guys. Like it almost feels like you're being hit with a flying squirrel. Like they are very long. They are very large.
They're
and they're annoying. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So amazing there. There are wearable options for when your horse is irritated with bugs and you still need to go out for a ride.
And we've talked a little bit about like what you're going to do in turnout with those options to put your horse outside in. We're going to talk a little bit more about riding options too, but really quick before we do that, there's a bunch of stuff that you can do around like the barn and the pasture situations too. And I actually, before we even jump into what those are, what are you guys doing for fly control around your barn? Is it just like everyone's an individual and doing their best? Is there something barn-wide you guys have tried before?
I mean, so our biggest one is airflow. The way that our barn is structured, we have like several aisles that go this way and then converging aisles. It kind of looks like a pound sign. And then several aisles that converge this way.
Also, and then we have for calling it a pound sign and
not a hashtag. Yeah. Yes, it looks like a hashtag sign. So, you know, we have like aisles that are converging. So we get some really nice airflow. And in the summer, all of the windows are open in the stalls. And so that alone helps. We also have a commercial fan system throughout the barn and then fans in every individual stall. And the fans actually help quite a bit. So we kind of rely on that and it does a pretty decent job. But barn wide, there are some more solutions that require everyone in the barn to participate. And that's really hard when you have this many horses. So we don't do like fly stoppers or like feed throughs that require everybody to be on them. But for the most part, the inside of the barn is a pretty happy place. We have like strategically placed fly traps or like the little no-see-um bulbs that like attract the bugs in the night and collect them up in the little pot. So we put those around too, but mostly, I mean, it's free and it's easy is to really focus on your airflow and keeping a nice steady stream of breeze coming through the barn.
Yeah. I feel like it's such an underrated one too, because not only are you keeping bugs from being able to sit and settle and do horrible things, but you're also moving air, which in the summer is a gift.
And absolutely.
Who's like, well, I don't have a 60 stall barn and a built-in fan system. Ashley, what am I supposed to do? Do what I do and get an old box fan that you had from college that is still sitting in your attic and bungee cord it to your horse's stall bars or whatever they have and plug it in and make sure that you're working with your barn manager. We've talked about barn fires for safety and prevention.
Yes, yes, yes.
Outdoor rated, make sure that it's plugged in, unplugged at safe times and people are checking on it. So that's that caveat. But
praise.
But there are ways to also, you know, jerry-rig it as best you can. So highly recommend. It's a big game changer.
Yeah, I totally agree. The fans really, really help.
Yeah. And you kind of mentioned it too, that there are other options for if you have either a barn that's, you know, super, super regulated or just a smaller barn where you have a little bit more hands-on with every individual horse or every individual area. We have something called Fly Stoppers and bear with me. It sounds a little bit gross,
yes.
But they're pretty cool. So they're bugs. We're going to ship you bugs in a little plastic baggie. I swear it's much more secure than it sounds, but you're getting bugs in a little baggie and you're going to go around your farm and you're going to like dig a little hole where bugs are most likely to breed and populate. So near the manure pile, by fence lines, by standing water. People have done it at like their barn entrances to their aisles and things like that. And you're just going to dump a few of these little buggies in there, cover it up, pat it down a little bit, call it a day. And what these do is these go around and they eat a whole bunch of things. It's more scientific than that. I'm not going to get into it because I wasn't the scientist who created it, but they're going to help with the fly population. They're going to eat a lot of the things that are considered pests and problems. They are not like invasive. They're not going to breed. They're not going to cause any like environmental impact because we just auto ship them to you. So that way they just like keep having a new population on their own because they're going to do their job. They're going to die. You're going to need new ones. So you're not really infecting the environment in any other way than getting rid of as many bugs as possible because these guys are going to eat them. So pretty cool program. It is better if you start it early, but it's one of those like the best time to start fly control was last month and the second best time is today. So look that up, give that a try and see if that's something that would work for you guys. And then you mentioned this, Ashley, with like the very traditional like fly traps and strips. I know they're not the prettiest to look at, but they work and they should.
They sure do. Yeah. Yeah, they work. They work really, really well. I've actually heard, now this is like, I have no data to back this up, but I've also heard like a very specific brand of Bard soap. I want to say it's like Irish Springs or Spring, something of that nature, is supposed to deter bugs. If you like, I had a boarder once that like had bars of soap on ropes hanging from the ceiling above her stall, and she swore by it. So in the event that everything is not going your way and you've tried it all and it is not working and you have some crazy substrain of fly that is impossible to kill, you know, maybe give, I want to say it's Irish Spring soap. It could be Ivory. I don't know. It was some brand of soap that was very specific. We had to have this brand. We'll have to, if I can find anything on the interwebs, on the dark webs, I will, we can put it in the show notes.
You know what? I'm looking it up as we're talking about it. And it does say that Irish Spring soap.
Is that it?
Can act as a natural scent-based repellent for bugs and small critters due to its strong aroma.
Well, there you go.
The only thing I'm going to note is I think your boarder might have misunderstood the application, because everything I'm reading says that you need to grate it and like leave it, like the little
shavings. I mean, when I say it was just hanging around, like it was like just a salt lick. Like a salt lick.
Yep.
One other thing that I have actually personally used that is like what I guess would be like a home remedy style is for gnats in particular, vanilla. And really? I just like one part vanilla to like five, I don't know what the exact ratio is, to five parts of water or so. And I put it in a little spray bottle. And like this will not work for flies or mosquitoes, but for like the tiny little gnats, it seems to be very helpful. So
that's a huge one too, because I feel like even the finest of meshes, sometimes little tiny things can get through. So, okay.
The no-see-ums are brutal. Yeah.
We have airflow. We have fly stoppers. We have Irish Spring soap, grated and vanilla and water in a spray bottle. We're getting into the home remedies, you guys.
I mean, guys, you can get some of this at the dollar store. But like, regardless of what your you know, financial situation looks like or how much time you have, what your resources look like, there will be some form of option for you to help your horse stay comfortable this summer for sure.
So, I mean, I'm honestly going to go out and get Irish Spring soap and put it into my flower.
We're going to try it
on my deck, and I will be personally trying that this summer.
I like this, but remember to grate it. Don't just put it, no soap on a rope.
Not just a bar of soap in the flower bed.
I love it.
Okay. So there's fly traps and strips that we talked about briefly. Most people have probably seen those. You hang them up, flies get stuck to them, super gross looking, super effective, but most effective if you can assign somebody to change them out regularly. So remember that. Even if it doesn't look full, it's still worth like every week, every 2 weeks, just swapping that out. So that way it's actually doing its job and collecting as many creatures as possible. Mm-hmm. But then the one that we mentioned before that I definitely want to take some time on is fly spray. I feel this is kind of contentious. I feel like everybody has like their diehard plan or diehard brand. So before I even say it, what is it that you use on your horses and is it the best?
Okay. So my fly spray method has found itself to be quite controversial among my boarders.
I'm glad I asked.
So I, historically, my trainer and I have done like heavy pyrethrin blends that are designed for like farm animals, period. So like not necessarily horse. And we get it at Blaine's and it's in like a 5-gallon bottle. It smells like tractor, like fuel. And it is so pungent and offensive that like people know when Ashley has been riding, and to the point where like people have asked me like, you like maybe spray that outside. Like it's pretty offensive. You dilute it with water, but it used to be called like something very offensive, like kill all the flies or like kill something like die, fly, die. Okay. It was very intense. They rebranded it. And so I have since kind of moved away from that. And my go-to now has always been the Ultra Shield Black. I'm a big fan of it. I can get it at my tractor supply. They sell like the big gallon refills of it. And I just keep the same sprayer. I love the Ultra Shield brand. They also just came out with a gold one last year that took lots of development and years of research. So I'm a big absorbing fan, big Ultra Shield fan. And I think that my understanding, though, is that depending on your geographic location and what your insect situation looks like, some fly sprays may work better for some horses. And so this may not be for you, but it certainly is for me. I'm a big Ultra Shield girly.
Yeah, I think Ultra Shield is like pretty quintessential. Like you think fly season, you think Ultra Shield. And that's on that for how well it works and how well people love it. And I think what's cool is I also swore and swear by Ultra Shield Black. Like I think it's Ultra Shield EX, but it's in the black bottle.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I just know the colors. There's red, blue, green, black. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I was going to say. So they actually have, if anybody didn't know this, they have like a whole rainbow of them too. So there were a couple of dressage ladies at my barn who swore by the rotational vibe. So they would actually buy a different Ultra Shield bottle every time they ran out and cycle through it because they thought I don't know. Maybe it does keep the bugs guessing. Maybe it does work differently. It worked for them and they loved it. So for anybody who's not aware, there's Ultra Shield EX, which is the black one that Ashley and I both use and love. There's also, they have a blue one that's supposed to be like sweat resistant, a green one that has a little bit more of like natural ingredients, and a red one that I think just kills a different variety of things. And then now they're gold, which is like kind of a combo of a lot of things. And like Ashley said, they spent 7 years researching Ultra Shield Gold. So definitely worth giving that one a shot too. And on Absolutely. Our brand of things, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that we have our own fly spray, Outsmart. It's a little bit more on the natural side of things. It has a lot of essential oils and stuff. That one also, I haven't used it in a while. It's not, the smell of it is not offensive, but because it's essential oils, it can be pretty strong. So I would just recommend if you have a small barn, really with any fly spray, spray it outside first, just so that way you've got space. But with our Outsmart, what's cool is it's safe for humans. Well, it can be used on humans and on horses. So you can spray yourself down, spray your horse down before you head out. But it really, fly spray is about finding what works for you and for your horse. So as we've mentioned in so many episodes, whatever you buy, if it's new this year, if it's used it before, just kind of keep an eye on your horse and see if it actually does seem to be working. Because the best fly spray is the one that actually keeps flies off your horse, whatever.
Yeah, I totally agree. And one of our newer products that we have added is our Smart Naturals line. So this one is the Smart Naturals Summer Spray that combines like citronella and apple cider vinegar. So like some of the things that we would already attribute to insect control, just a little bit more of a, like a natural, all natural approach to insect control as well. So Outsmart and Smart Naturals.
There's a salve that goes with that too, right? So like there's SWAT, which is like
the no fly
salve, but then we also have our like Smart Naturals no fly zone version of it too. So again, you can have both in your barn, one that's a little more chemical heavy and one's a little bit more natural based, and just rotate and swap and use what you need to use when you need to use it.
Exactly. And I want to go back to when I said SWAT and I said, hey, bro, okay, if you look at the ingredients on the SWAT or you say like, ooh, this isn't for me and I'd rather have something that takes a more natural approach with, you know, a botanical ingredient list, check out the Smart Natural Salve because it works very similarly.
Yeah, for sure. That's one that like, I almost feel like even if you're not using it on your horse all the time, you could also have it for you.
100%.
Gardening, hiking,
totally.
Time outside with your child, whatever it may be. And something worth keeping in mind with fly spray, my horse hated the sound of a sprayer. I don't know what it was. There was one point, it was when I had first gotten him, was getting to know him. He was great at ground tying. Like, put him in the aisle, throw a lead rope over his back. Dude's not going anywhere. I turned around, I'm rummaging in my tack trunk. I grab my fly spray. I give it, you know, two tester sprays. I hear the ch-ch-ch, and I'm like, nailed it. I turn around, he's gone.
See ya.
Three warm blood is gone. I'm panicked. I look down the aisle. Thank God he was kinder than he was smart. And he had walked to a wheelbarrow and put his head down behind it as if he was hiding. Bless him. So I was able to go and grab him and bring him back and fly spray him. But I learned that just the sound of the sprayer was his least favorite thing. So I was able to reach a truce of being able to spray his body and his legs, but something that if you haven't tried before, highly recommend spraying a, like a puddle of it into your hand and using that to wipe down face and nose and ears and even their legs if they get silly about that. It can help. Whatever's going to make it so your horse is, you know, less upset by it. But keeping in mind that fly spray is definitely a more daily thing if possible. Some of the bottles are going to say like, you know, works up for 14 days. Watch your horse for 14 days and tell me that they don't need a couple more sprays in between. Great solution, but definitely a very consistent one to have to use.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more there. And Andy also is does not tolerate fly spray at all. My new theory is that the sound of like the ch-ch-ch, that it sounds like a rattlesnake. That is what I've decided. I mean, I don't know if I just tell myself this because I'm like, oh no, his poor body is being flooded with cortisol and epinephrine because it sounds like something he needs to run away from. And that way I have a more compassionate approach to this than just being like, stand still, darn it. So, but yeah, I mean, you have roll-on options. You can just put it in your hand and wipe it on their face. You can put it on a rag, but some of it is, you know, just horses have preferences. Tilly does not care at all, but Andrew, just like your horse, is like, I'm out of here. See you later. I'm going to go hide in somebody else's stall so that you cannot fly spray me. But that is something that you're going to have to do sometimes multiple times a day, depending on, you know, what the situation is. If it rains or if they're sweating heavily, you may have to reapply it.
Yeah, definitely worth keeping all that in mind. Okay, so we've gone over gear as far as what goes on your horse and turnout. We've talked about what you can do around like the barn and the stables and your stalls and things like that. And we haven't talked a ton about it, but we've kind of hinted at it. There's also like management stuff you can do with your barn for, you know, minimizing. I can't ever say get rid of it.
Possible. Yes, yes.
Minimizing the amount of bugs and issues that you have. So there's things like manure management and like standing water stuff and like feed room things. But like before I get into any of that, Ashley, you're up first. What do you guys do? Do you do anything specifically for bugs or is it just a byproduct of how you already manage the barn?
It's a byproduct of how we already manage the barn. Obviously, it just has more intense implications in the summer than in the winter. But the first of which is that we pick stalls every single day. So there is not, you know, we don't leave on Sundays or stalls are picked every single day. And sometimes in the summer, even twice a day, if we're having to like rotate paddocks and such, around five or six, if horses came in early due to weather or whatever, we'll pick them again. So making sure that we have rapid removal of whatever is left behind from our horses, both in stalls and in paddocks. So if the horses are producing a lot of manure outside, if it's in limestone, we pull it out. If it's in grass and it dries up, we will often remove quite a bit of it. And then we will like drag those paddocks to make sure that it's all broken up and it's not attracting any insects. And then, like you had mentioned about removing standing water, if you have water features on your property, that's kind of hard to avoid. But if you have like water drain off from a storm or something, trying to manage that, like you said, with the fly stoppers, potentially putting those in areas where you know you may collect standing water if there's flash floods. And we also, we compost our own manure and we do it far, far, far away from the barn. So yeah, it's pretty neat. So we take our manure onto like the very opposite corner of the property. We have composting piles out there that we then like, and once the product is completely composted, which takes quite a long time, then we use that as fertilizer for the fields and such, but you can't do it right away. You really have to wait for it to turn into rich soil. And we try to get it away from the barn as quickly as possible to make sure that we're not, you know, attracting any pests.
Yeah, I mean, all that makes a ton of sense. And that was a lot of what was on the list, right? Like rapid removal of manure, like that's huge. I think it's easier to remember in stalls, but it's really important to remember in paddocks and pastures too. Yeah, it's not the most fun chore, but if you have a couple of barn rats or if you teach summer camp, that's a great activity to burn off.
Absolutely.
So definitely a big one. Composting, so cool. I know that's not an option for everybody, but something worth looking into if you have the space to be able to, you know, tuck it away somewhere far. So, so cool that you guys do that.
Yes. And if you don't, if you can't compost and you're, you know, you have a 20 yarder that's taken away once a week or however it is, so just trying to get it as far away from where your horses live as possible. And I mean, listen, if that means 30 feet, that's great. But whatever that looks like to you and your facility and your barn, you know, that's a wonderful opportunity just to get it as far away from the horses as possible, just to give a little buffer, a little space buffer there for whatever insects are going to live in that manure 30, 40 feet away from your paddocks or your stalls.
Yeah, for sure. And then on the note of spreading manure, I know it gets really hot where you're at. Midwest is
it does. We bake right in the middle of this country. Yeah.
Exactly. So with manure spreading, just a quick caveat, like that can work really, really well when it's super hot and dry out because like you said, it's gonna bake it all and it's gonna make that manure not exciting or, you know, interesting to bugs. But for anybody in a rainier state or a cooler state or, you know, location or area, just keep in mind that if the sun's not gonna bake it dry, then all you're doing is spreading out the space for flies to breed and do their fly thing. So Midwest, South, keep it up. New England, Northern states, maybe just think about it or try spreading it only when you know it's about to be a super crazy heat wave. Something to keep in mind.
Okay. So I also, since we're on that topic, I also want to just bring up, I mean, piles that are already in the paddocks, right?
Yes.
There are also trains of thought where people will spread the manure that they take out of their stalls. And again, we do that, but we compost it first. So it is very, very, very important to note that if your manure contains shavings, if it came out of your stall and it is not just poop piles and there is also shavings, Pine shavings can cause nitrogen immobilization, which can actually impact the soil and the growth of the hay or the grass that it is spread on. So you have to make sure that if you're going to use refuse manure from a stall, that you compost it properly first so that those nitrogen properties, the nitrogen tie-up properties are not there anymore.
I had no idea. When I'm talking about spreading manure, I was thinking of what's already in the pasture. I forgot that there are people who have historically taken it out of the stalls and spread it there. That's a really good and really interesting shout, because we definitely want to keep as much grass as we can in our pasture, especially in New England. It's already a fight.
Yes.
To keep it growing and keep it healthy.
Yes, we don't want nitrogen deficiency in our soil. And so we grow our own hay. And so we certainly do use our own manure as fertilizer for our fields, but we compost it first. So making sure when you address those compost piles, you have to flip them, you have to tend to them, rake them. And then after however months, years, once that manure has broken down into true rich soil, then you can use it on your fields. But be very cognizant that pine shavings can disrupt the micronutrient content of your soil in your hay.
Man, thanks, Scientist Ashley.
Yes, you're welcome.
And then, so we did also talk about standing water a little bit, but just to reiterate, standing water, yes, we think of like ponds and like scuzzy little lakes and things like that, that they look great until they're, you know, breeding a ton of flies. But also thinking about the buckets and the tanks that are in your stalls, your pastures, your paddocks, and things like that, if those are standing for even 24 hours, that's bug breeding ground. So dumping water as often as is feasible for, you know, your situation and your barn, their droughts happen and things like that. So I'm not telling you like wastewater, but just keeping in mind that that's an option. I'm trying to rope off any things that are like super gross, you know, ponds or lakes or things like that, that, you know, get swampy and nasty. And when you do have the opportunity to dump, you know, buckets and tanks, however often that may be, wipe them out, scrub them out and things like that. Try to keep any of that bacteria that helps bugs grow from not growing. I've also seen some pretty fun, I don't know if they're like real hacks or not, I've never had the opportunity to try it, but like putting goldfish into your stock tank, or the mosquito dunks, or having like a kid's bath toy that'll like, you know, rotor around and like,
interesting. I've
seen people go so far as to put like the little water fountains, you just sit on top of water and they like
suck
water, whatever it takes. I mean, make sure your horse is still going to drink it, but whatever it takes to keep the bugs from breeding in there.
I love that idea. Wow. Necessity really is the mother of invention, huh? I've got some kids' bath toys, and you know what? She's terrified of them. She does not like the ones that move in the bathtub, so maybe I'll just take them down to my stock tanks. I like that idea.
Yeah, give it a shot. Let us know what you think. So we'll revisit this in a future episode.
Yes, we will. That's right.
And then the one that we haven't talked about that is probably just as important is like your feed room. That is one of, I think, the best jobs in the winter and worst jobs in the summer, is scooping out feed and putting into the buckets. In the winter, you're in theoretically a cozy little room and it smells nice and sweet and you get to just scoop some things and like not be out in the bitter cold. And in the summer, you are in a fly hellstorm. And everything is horrible and buzzing and sticky and warm. So it's not fun, but it is highly recommended to make sure that you are wiping things down in the feed room as often as possible, keeping dust from collecting. If supplements are spilling, actually, God forbid, a liquid supplement, get liquid packs, guys, just save yourself. If it's a liquid supplement that spills, wipe it up as fast as you can. Anything you can, keep clean in the feed room, because that is the fastest way for flies to just stick somewhere and be absolutely miserable for you.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. The feed room is crazy, and it's flies, but it's also pests that we're hoping our cats are helping us take care of. And so your feed room is attracting all sorts of different critters. So a fun hack that Damien does. So when obviously feeding 60 horses in one meal time, you have to prepare that ahead of time. So he has the feed cart with all the buckets stacked up in it. And then he uses a retired fine mesh fly sheet and throws it over the entire feed cart. Yeah. So then that way it's like they don't even bother coming in here anymore because they can't access anything. So yeah, that is our little trade secret, that if you have an old fly sheet that had too many rips or whatever, that it didn't fit your horse anymore, you can always use that over your feed cart. Obviously, the stored feed is in bins or in Nooster drawers, but if it's in your feed cart and it's, you know, 3 p.m. and you're going to do turn on and then feed everybody, You know, just toss a little fine mesh fly sheet over there and it will hopefully keep your feed room or your aisle, wherever that feed cart is sitting, free from pests while you're working.
Yeah, I love that. We always put rags over. Like, we would do the same thing. We'd pre-make it, pack the buckets and put a rag over it. But then at some point you're like, I need a freaking rag and there's none.
Totally. Yes.
Like, you had that like moral conundrum.
Yes, exactly.
Fine mesh fly sheet eradicates that whole thing. I love that.
It does. And our feed bin or our feed cart is huge. The fly sheet covers the entire thing. We just need one and you can pull it on and off really easily.
Yeah. Love that. And going back to your movement, if you can have a fan set up somewhere in and around your feed room, also a great option to help keep bugs away and to also just kind of help dust from settling and things like that too. So another note.
Love it.
And then one that's probably a little bit trickier for those of us who have horses that we board and things like that. But for anybody who, you know, has their own barn at home or runs their own facility, just figuring out how to time your turnout for the individual horses as best you can. I know my horse for many years was, you know, midday, you know, 8 a.m. to whenever 4 or 5 p.m. they got brought in. But there was a couple of years where he was just miserable and he was on night turnout. And I was very grateful to have that opportunity where he went out in a smaller paddock, yes, but it was nighttime so he could actually be outside and move around and not be quite so miserable. And for anybody who can even split turnout, I've also been to a barn where they turned out real early. They were out at like 4 a.m. until 10 a.m. and they came in through the hottest part of the day with their fans and the shade and the less bugs. And then they went back out from like 3 to 6. So whatever works, but just keeping that in mind as an option if you can.
Yep, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
And then one thing I'm going to note that we're not going to talk about on this episode, I'm sure someone's been waiting for me to be like, by the way, we sell supplements. By the way, we sell supplements, but we're not going to talk about that in this episode. So this was already a lot talking about what goes on and around your horses. What goes in your horses is going to be a totally separate conversation for feed throughs and things like that, that we will talk about in the future. So keep that in mind. If you're looking for that information, it's going to be in our next episode. And then putting it all together, we've talked about quite a few things that can help, but I think one of the biggest things to keep in mind is that none of this is going to be like a, wow, I did this one thing and now I haven't seen a single fly. Flies are tough. Fly season is tough. So use everything in your arsenal. Use it as much as you can, as often as you can. Team up with your barn mates or your barn manager or whoever it may be and figure out what the best plan of attack is. But you know, keeping in mind that there are fly sheets, there are masks, there are boots, there are fans, are, you know, keeping fly stoppers and traps and goldfish and stock tanks and Irish soap in, you know, not hung from the ceiling, but in grated around areas. There's lots of options. So use as many of them as you can.
A cute anecdote that I will share is that a couple years ago, we were like during the height of COVID, we were having trouble like finding and keeping talent at the farm. And so I had to help with turn in and turn out in the morning, and because that's like the most laborious part of the day, right? And in the evening, I would go down to the barn and I would help Damien bring the horses in. And the one horse that I mentioned to you that wears the full garb with like the big belly bands, I forgot that unlike a typical stable sheet or a turnout blanket that has like two crossed surcingles, that there are like many, many surcingles across the belly. Mm-hmm. And I tried to take it off without undoing all those. And this was not my horse. And as I'm like pulling it down his butt, I'm like, oh, please don't kill me and kick me right now because this is about to get stuck on your hips. And it sure did. So make sure that whatever garb you are putting on your horse, that you are aware. And I know we've talked about facing the clips in versus out. Like if your horse lives in garb and they have a fly mask out there, make sure that the fly mask is not, you know, going to catch on anything in your paddock. Make sure that the clips on all of your fly blankets or fly sheets are all facing in, that you are unclipping all of the surcingles when you are taking it off as to not get yourself killed in another horse's stall, that your fly boots are appropriate, that there's nothing sticking in them or scratching on the inside. So just, you know, make sure that you're also keeping an eye on all of your garb, that it's being maintained properly, because you wouldn't want to put your horse in a situation where you're accidentally causing them discomfort by attempting to do something great for them.
Yeah, could not agree more. That is a great note to add. And I think with that final note, we'll wrap on this one.
We did it!
And we're back again with a giveaway reminder. This one is open the entire month of May, and we're giving away a Smart Equine prize package, which includes a $25 Smart Equine gift card, a Smart Equine travel blanket, and a Smart Equine thermos. So go ahead and enter for your chance to win. Just click or tap on the link in the podcast description, and that will take you directly to our giveaway form, or you can type it in yourself into your browser at www.smartequine.com/podcast giveaway. And remember, this is open all month long. So if you're listening to this in May of 2026, now's your chance to get your entry in, and good luck.
You can find links to today's guests and products in the show notes on your podcast player or on our website at www.smartpackequine.com/blog.
We're here twice a month on the 15th and 30th, but in between, find us on Instagram and Facebook as Smart Equine or shop online at smartequine.com. Until next time, stay smart, stay unbugged,
and give your horse a cookie from us.